Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank Home Mortgage.
And I'm Reba Hass from Team Reba, trying not to go into another coughing fit. But well, my apologies, listeners, if I have to step out again. Dealing with allergy issues.
That's all right. I've never seen
for it.
Quite the color purple as I.
I know. I think I matched my lipstick.
It was a sight to see.
A beautiful sight, I'm sure.
That's right. Well, we're really happy today to have Rick Mangan with us of Mangan Wealth Management. It's going to be Rick. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Rick Mangan, and I'm the principal at Mangan Wealth Management. We have our office is located up in the Northgate area, and we help our wealth management clients cover their wealth management needs, which includes managing their investments, taking care of their taxes, determining whether they need insurance, and helping in the estate planning docs, at least in suggesting what is needed. We don't write those docs ourselves.
Right.
Got it. And you are a CPA.
I'm a CPA, I'm a CFP, I'm a PFS, so I have a few different letters after.
You're an alphabet soup.
You got
Excellent.
It.
Just like a lot of real estate agents where they have lots of designations, but yours carry a lot more weight, I believe.
That's right. Good. Well, today we're going to be pulling on that CPA hat, so put that one on.
Yes.
And, we're very curious about the tax bill that was passed and went into law in January. It's having a significant impact on the market, as we kind of talked about in the last segment. So what are you seeing could we do a real quick rundown of some of the key changes, in the new bill compared to the old one? Of course, our brackets are different.
Are you going to let him answer that, or are you going to answer it?
He looked confused there for a sec. I'm just making sure.
A few of the changes. The big driving force of the whole act was probably the drop in the corporate tax rate.
Right.
And so, once they decided they were going to drop that, there were some other things that had to happen to kind of level the playing field between corporations and some of the pass-through entities. So there's a new 20% pass-through deduction available for some businesses. The mortgage interest deduction has changed. That's been tweaked and reduced. Well, it's been reduced. There's differences in standard deduction, itemized deduction, the real estate taxes, and just taxes that you could deduct at the personal level in general has really changed. There's now a new limit overall for those that you could say it targets Seattle, but it targets a lot of the coastal cities with that deduction. There's some other changes involving gift taxes, as well as some depreciation items some Schedule E items, some rental investment items.
So many of those are all topics that our listeners are probably going to be quite interested in.
I would imagine so,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reason for we sure. asked you to come on, because I know as soon as the tax package changed, I'm going to, in all transparency to our listeners, Rick is my personal wealth planner. So that's partly how we know each other, and we've known each other for 15 years, because I've kind of followed part of your career from when you were at Foster & Company, and then you went elsewhere when you were doing wealth management, and then you started your own firm and started doing all of it. And so I've just been kind of your little albatross following you around for 15 years. I've known you just as long as this other guy goofing around on the other side of the table here.
That's awesome. Yeah. So Rick, let's start with the homeowner.
Yeah.
And let's say that I'm either a single person or a married person, filing jointly, and I have a mortgage. I have mortgage interest expense. I have property taxes. So how's it going to look differently when I file my taxes for 2018 compared to 2017?
Yeah. So the first thing is in 2017 you may itemize, and in 2018 you may just take the standard deduction. Assuming that you are going to itemize in both years, a couple of differences would be in the amount of taxes that you're able to deduct. Currently in 2017, you can deduct all your property taxes. Those state of Washington residents that don't pay income tax to any other states, they get the sales tax deduction.
Mm-hmm.
And some other small tax deductions usually associated with your automobile.
Okay.
So in 2017, there's no limit on that. In 2018, all of those combined, your sales tax, your income tax, your sales tax or income tax, plus your property tax, all are capped at $10,000. So anything, any amount above that, you just simply don't get a deduction for that. The mortgage interest is going to change a little bit as well. Now, they did grandfather in, so there's, well, let me back up. So in 2017 and prior, there was a $1 million limit on the mortgage interest, that on the debt that you were allowed to deduct your mortgage interest on.
Right.
In addition to that, there was another $100,000 that was available for line of credits. And so that would often get shorthanded into, well, you have a $1.1 million debt limit that you can
deduct the interest on.
So fast forwarding to 2018, that is changing. Now they are grandfathering in, if you had a loan prior to December of 17, they're grandfathering in that $1 million limit. That $100,000 line of credit add-on is gone. So if you have nothing, if you don't do any refinance and you have the same loan that you had, you know, your limits basically drop from 1.1 to 1.
To a million.
To a million. Okay. Yep. Now, for new loans and any new entered starting in the middle of December 2017, now that limit has dropped to $750,000.
Right. And the $750,000 is for acquisition debt, correct?
Yes, acquisition indebtedness.
Okay, meaning that you can really only deduct the interest for debt that was used to purchase a home or to substantially improve the home. Is that, just make sure I understand the rules.
Yes, no, that is correct. And okay. So that actually, you know, the line of credit has, you know, there's the primary mortgage and, you know, as long as it's acquisition indebtedness, you're fine. The line of credit has created some controversy or some debate amongst the CPA world in that, you know, now you get to, is it acquisition indebtedness? Is it home equity indebtedness? In other words, you took a home equity line of credit and you paid off some other debts or
went on vacation or this,
yeah,
or that.
Whatever you did. And so, you know, that home equity indebtedness, that just is not deductible. Now, if you have a line of credit, there is acquisition indebtedness. You took the line, you made a big improvement. That's where the debate is. I fall on the side, and the more I read, you know, that would be deductible as well.
So I have a quick question.
You still have that $750,000 limit. Yeah.
Because I did a line of credit to buy my boat slip.
Yeah.
What would that do? Because I did acquire something else that is real estate because it's considered a condo.
That was before 2018.
Yes. So it's
it would still,
but it was home equity.
It's I think that would be the home equity indebtedness. I don't think that would qualify as the the acquisition indebtedness.
Well, could we count? Okay. Could we call a boathouse a second home?
Can you sleep there?
Yes.
You probably put a cot on the dock or something.
Well, no, the boat.
The boat's in the
boat,
slip.
The boat. The
and
boat
is,
itself
is, and has a. It has the head, bed, and bread.
In the boat itself,
yeah.
But not the boat house.
No.
But did you buy a boat house or a boat slip?
Boat slip.
Yeah. The top of my head, I would say no, but, you know, there's all sorts of literature out there.
It just brought to mind. Just came to mind. Okay. All right. So one of the things is with that 750 cap, aren't people who already had a million grandfathered in, though, going forward?
They are grandfathered in so long as the loan originated prior to December of 2017.
Okay. So anyone who was buying December 15th is what you were saying last week, right?
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, good. All right. Now, so let's say, okay, so I'm filing, I have mortgage interest. So my combination of property tax, sales tax, excise tax, like car tabs, things like that, cannot exceed $10,000 under the new rules. My mortgage debt can only be deducted up to the first $750,000 in debt. So if I owe $850,000, I'm going to just do some math on that. I can still deduct $750,000 of that interest expense, or how does that work?
Well, it would all depend on when that loan was originated.
Let's say it was originated this year in 2018.
Yeah, so you would be limited to the $750,000 of debt. So.
Okay.
At the end of the year, you would do the math on 750 over what the
over
total
whatever it is. Got it.
Total
okay.
is, and you'd get that.
And I
percentage
could deduct that
your,
amount. Okay.
Exactly.
Now, so And the new standard deduction is for an individual, it's $12,000?
Yeah, for an individual, it's $12,000. Claiming single, head of household, it's $18,000, and married folks is $24,000.
Okay. So if my itemized deductions are less than that,
then you get the standard deduction.
I take $24,000, or I take whatever it is.
You no longer file Schedule A.
And that's the so I just fill out what was the sales pitch, but you know, fire your taxes on a postcard.
Yeah, that's probably not true, but
a very large postcard with many pages in it. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay. So really I only have to itemize if my itemized deductions exceed that standard deduction. If it's $12,000 for an individual, $18,000 for a single head of household, or $24,000 for a married couple.
Yes,
really is going to simplify things for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I did a bit of basic math on that, and I was sort of looking at if you buy a home for roughly about $430,000 or so based on current interest rates, including property taxes, you're just about at that $24,000, you know, threshold. So if somebody's buying a home for less than that, odds are they can just take the standard deduction. If they're over that, well, then maybe they'll still look at itemizing.
Yeah, and there is, you know, somebody who's charitably inclined will have some additional deductions
for
that as well.
Charitable contributions. Mm-hmm. What's your, as Rick Mangan as a CPA, what's your rule on a charitable contribution if I drop off a truckload at Value Village or something like that?
Well, there, you know, you value it at fair market value. And
okay.
So there's limitations. You know, it can be, if you feel that your stuff is worth more than $5,000, you have to go get an appraisal. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with any Goodwill appraisers, but.
Not off the top of my head, but I've always kind of figured about $75 a bag, you know, something like that is, you know.
Yeah, I probably undervalue all the time because I'm always thinking about what they're going to be able to sell it for. Versus what it might truly have been in terms of value, because I know just like a pair of shoes that I might give probably cost me $75 to $150 or something like that. But if they've been out there for a while, it's like, okay, $3, you know.
Right.
It is the thrift shop value.
Right. So, all right, well, there you go.
Good. When we come back, we're going to navigate the labyrinth of the pass-through entity change to the tax laws.
Oh,
so
boy.
Stay tuned. Listen in, call us if you got questions, 866-712-1300, more at KKOL Business Radio.
Got a question? Call it in, 866-712-1300.